Greetings again, everyone. Welcome visitors who we don't see very often. We need to put everything, every group, every church, every organization, every government, every party, into some kind of a niche, some kind of a bracket, some kind of identification where we identify them in our minds, we understand who and what they are, what they stand for, what they're trying to do. That's true of people, I think. But it's certainly true of religious organizations and churches. Where do we fit? Who and what are we? You know, Jesus Christ was interested in his press, and one time he asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" All kinds of ideas have been bandied about. Some say he's Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Some say you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And of course, for everyone who said that, there were those who believed it. So there were all kinds of theories about Jesus Christ, who and what he was. When people talk to you or ask you, and there will be a few thousand people who will hear this tape all over the country, in Australia and England and other places, and they say, "With whom are you affiliated?" Or, "What church do you go to?" Or, "With which group are you?" If you mention my name, all kinds of ideas will come into their heads, many of which I certainly would not want to discuss. But there's one in particular I found when I was researching some information on the Illuminati. All you've got to do is to type into your computer the conspiracy theories, or the Illuminati, or the New World Order. And I had 12 different search engines going, and they showed me hundreds and hundreds of all kinds of conspiracy theories, from the fact that the United States government blew up the building in Oklahoma City. The government itself did the 9/11 tragedy attack. Man never went to the moon. They've got absolute video proof, one website says, to prove that they did it in a desert in Arizona. There are proofs in all of these that the Air Force actually murdered some aliens who came here and have been keeping it secret. I also found this in one of these search engines, the identity movement. Are you a part of the identity movement? Do you believe in the identity of the United States in biblical prophecy? Do you believe that Britain is Ephraim, the United States is Manasseh, that perhaps Holland is Zebulon and Finland is Issachar? Do you believe that perhaps Denmark, as we pronounce it, is part of Dan? I found this in the identity movement section. What has come to be known as the identity movement was previously termed Anglo-Israelism or British Israelism. It is composed of those individuals and groups who identify the present-day Anglo-Saxon people as the direct biological descendants of the ancient Israelites, and as such, God's chosen people, the heirs of all of God's promises to Abraham and his progeny. The 10 lost tribes of Israel, the former northern kingdom, are sharply distinguished from Judah. Do you believe that? Sure, I do. Absolutely. The ancient southern kingdom centered around Jerusalem, which consisted of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin and some Levites. In like measure, modern Anglo-Saxons are to be sharply distinguished from the Jews. Do you believe that? I sure do. The Bible states that very clearly. The Anglo-Israelite hypothesis originated with Richard Brothers. I doubt that somehow, but they claim they give a date, 1757 to 1824. A Canadian-born visionary. His self-proclaimed right, as a descendant of King David to the throne of England, led to his commitment to an asylum. He was a nut. In other words, absolutely crazy, decided that he ought to become the King of England. They did not receive serious attention until 1840, when John Wilson published his restatement of them in, quote, "our Israelitish origin," end quote. Throughout the rest of the 19th century, supporters of Wilson's presentation emerged in Bible student circles. In England, Piazzi Smith, famous for his study of the Great Pyramid, became a believer. In America, M.M. Eshelman, author of Two Sticks or the Lost Tribes of Israel, discovered, 1887, and a prominent minister in the Church of the Brethren, became an early exponent. He was soon joined by Canadian Minister W.H. Poole, author of, quote, Anglo-Israel, or the Saxon Race Proved to be the Lost Tribes of Israel, 1889. Both of these early authors were eclipsed by J. He's got it wrong here. It should be J.H. Allen. It's got J.J. Allen, whose, quote, Judah's Scepter and Joseph's Birthright, and I have a copy of that, many of you do, became the single most important instrument in spreading Anglo-Israel thought into Adventist and independent Bible student circles. Through the efforts of Merritt Dickinson, who had read and accepted the arguments in Allen, Anglo-Israel thought entered the Church of God Seventh Day. Now listen to this. Herbert W. Armstrong, a minister in the group, as leader of the worldwide Church of God, subsequently became the most successful exponent of Anglo-Israel. Absolutely untrue. They try to trace that through the Church of God Seventh Day. My father, in his autobiography, and I was there and alive and knew about it, wrote a thesis, a very thick, big thesis, from many different sources, not only Allen's book, but the Bible itself, which was his most important reference, and presented it to A.N. Duggar, who was the head of that organization, who said to him, I accept and I believe what you're saying, but I fear we should present it to the church lest the tithe payers become upset. You can read the exact way in which that was handled in my father's autobiography. So to say it came from one person to the Church of God Seventh Day, and in that organization, my father as a minister, oh no. That issue was one among two or three others that caused my father to go completely his own way and to separate from, as he'd written in his autobiography, the Church of God Seventh Day. My son and I have discussed this time and again, because in the identity movement there are certain beliefs, and let me read them to you, because this I found also on the website, and I got to it by going through conspiracy theories and all of that, cultic kind of things. Members of the identity movement do not consider themselves a new sect or denomination. True. Rather, they believe themselves to be a group of Orthodox Christians who accept the Bible as the inspired and literally true Word of God. Do you believe that? You bet. They got the nail right on the head. While affirming their belief in God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they generally stop short of belief in the Trinity. Wow. How about that? That is defining the Intercontinental Church of God. Their belief in the literal truth of the Bible is manifested by a firm belief in the biblical account of creation as described in Genesis. Well, with the understanding that the word was means became, and that creation could have taken place over a period of 4.5 or 6 or 10 or 12 billion years, yes. We do not believe that the world was created in exactly 6 days, and that all the rocks were put in place and all the fossils buried in them and all of that like the Adventists do. So, their belief in the Bible is manifested by a firm belief in the biblical account of creation, as described in Genesis, the virgin birth of Jesus, the personal return of Jesus to earth, and the final battle to be fought between the Israel of God and the enemies of Jesus. Well, no, they've got that wrong, haven't they? We don't believe that Israel is going to fight the enemies of Jesus. We believe that Israel is going to enter into the great tribulation and be punished of God for its horrible personal, national, and collective sins, and that God is going to intervene in order to save a remnant of Israel from that horrible period of privation and slavery. So they've got some of this kind of, but, you know, what else is new? Following the tradition of Free Church Protestantism, two ordinances, baptism by immersion and communion, are practiced. Well, they stop short there of a lot, don't they? Now, he goes on, though, some identity groups have also adopted both Sabbatarianism, can you imagine that, and sacred name emphasis from Adventism. Well, we don't believe in speaking Hebrews or Hebrew language, and I know that on an occasion, if I'm anointing someone, I will refer to God as Yahweh Rophika, God our healer. I know that He is Yah and that He is El and Elohim and El Shaddai, and that His original name was Elohim in Hebrew, and that J-H-V-H, they don't know how to pronounce, it's Yahweh, Yahweh, Jehovah, Java, however they pronounce it. We don't have the consonants. We don't have the vowels, rather. So we are not believers that we ought to make the absolute spear's point of the thrust of the gospel outreach program that you've got to speak or address God in the Hebrew language. I just think it places a huge block in front of Spanish, Germans, French, Italians, English, and anybody else, because it's the very first thing you come to, and I can disprove it easily by the second chapter of the book of Acts and the day of Pentecost. How is it that we hear every one of them speaking in our language the wonderful works of, and then they said, whatever word in their language meant God. And that's what they heard, and that's the miracle that God actually performed, so that they heard the name of God, not in Hebrew, or they wouldn't have understood what in the world was being talked about, but in their own language. All right, they try to characterize. Now, this they're trying to put us into a bracket, right? Trying to put us into a niche. People like to be comfortable. They like to have organizations filed away. Oh, them. Oh, they're that way. That's what they are. And then they can go their way, and they've successfully done away with that. They say, well, you know, he used to be one of us. That's what some of the people in the Jehovah's Witnesses Church used to say about my dad. Complete lie, but they say it to this day. Oh, yes, he was one of us. I took issue with that in many ways, one of which was, why would that be the most unrecommending evil thing you could say about someone? Obviously, if he was one of them, that tainted him beyond belief, right? What a horrible thing to have that in his background. He was one of us. Oh, well, you guys that bad? So they just don't read. They don't follow with wisdom and reason to a logical conclusion. It's a completely illogical thing. So be that as it may, the point I'm coming to, and I won't read all of this because it's many pages and quite lengthy, is that there is a belief extant in the United States, not only among churches, but in the government, that those who believe in the identity of what is called Anglo-Israel are white supremacists. We have a minority of a minority of African-American black people in this church. I wish we had a lot more of them. If I could query them, if I could question them and say, why is it you know these things, you hear this, you watch the program, you read the literature, but you can't bring yourself to come into the Intercontinental Church of God? They will have all kinds of reasons they will tell you. And I think the word, the big R word, would be one that some of them would, unfortunately and absolutely erroneously, try to hang on us. I once said in a sermon, to give you an example of just how incredibly sensitive some people are to that issue, because I'm not sent here to preach racial segregation, racial distribution, what's going to happen in the millennium with regard to the reestablishment of all of the races of Shem, Ham, and Japheth all over the earth. I'm not sent to preach about racial segregation and discrimination or socioeconomic issues, where they impinge upon the gospel and the work, and where they have to do with the collective national sins of our society and of all of the world. I will go into things like that from time to time. But I made the following statement, not exactly able to quote it, but it was like this. I'm not going to get into that subject. I'm going to leave it to Jesus Christ of Nazareth to settle when he comes. That so upset one couple that, far as I know, they left the church. They got so angry, they wrote me a letter or an email, and I forget even in which form. But they were a mixed marriage. And I'm not even sure it was black, African American, and white. It was some other, perhaps, mixed marriage. And they just took great exception to that. And to that, to them, that was absolute proof that Garner Ted Armstrong is a racist. Well, I'm not a racist. They can never hang that label on me. And I'm not going to go on now with the usual cliches that they will absolutely, scorn and sneer at about some of my best friends are black. If you can't look around the church and see that one of our ACs is an African-American, a very gentle and a dear friend of mine, If you can't look around and see other black ministers and elders and hosts, if you can't see the black people in many churches throughout the Southeast, North and South Carolina, down in Georgia and Alabama and down in New Orleans, then that's your problem. But I'm saying that this is a sermon intended to be a legal and a formal absolute declaration and a disclaimer. We are not a racist, white supremacist organization. Now, what is the first disclaimer you could tell people about if they try to label you as such? What do you believe is going to happen to white Anglo-Israel? How's that for openers? Do you believe that Jesus Christ's prophecies about the Great Tribulation mean the United States and the British Commonwealth? Do you believe they're going to be attacked by enemies from without, and they're going to disintegrate by a toboggan slide of morals and incredible sins from within, and they're going to enter into captivity, they're going to come down just like ancient Rome did, and they are not going to be, as Anglo-Israelites said in the 18th century, like the British Empire was sort of the kingdom of God on earth. That is utter nonsense. We have never believed it, never taught it, and it isn't taught in the Bible. So you and I believe and we know that our beloved country is going down to defeat, and that millions of our people are going to be enslaved by these other nations and races, including Egypt, including nations in Africa, in Europe, the Middle East, and Asia. Now, since you believe that, and I know you do, because you've researched the prophecies on it, those two are utterly incompatible, aren't they? Because, you see, they view this racist concept of people being white supremacists as they are the chosen people, the special people, better than other people, exclusivist, ivory-towered, looking down on other people. No way. You and I know that Paul preached to the Gentiles, and that Paul said, if you be Abraham seed, then are you heirs according to the promise. If you be Christ, that is, if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The 11th chapter of Romans goes into great detail about the grafting into the wild olive branch on the olive trunk of the tree that was cut off, showing that the Gentiles were put in place of the chosen people of Judah, and the Gentiles who came in with emotional alacrity and surrendered to God and accepted Christ in droves and in their thousands during the ministry of the Apostle Paul, while the Jews were turning away from Christ. Throughout the writings of Paul, you see that happening, and in the book of Acts. And we believe all of that. And you know, in a way, it is the same today because of hard-headed Yankee American and the independent spirit of Americans and the idea that each person is like a god unto himself. And they have this kind of a bitter, combative attitude. Well, I'll believe it when you prove it to me, and even then I probably won't accept it, that a lot of people seem to have. Now, I also found, and I didn't know before, but I found out who the Illuminati really are. How many of you know who the Illuminati are? I've heard about this Illuminati, the intelligentsia, the people who from back in the, 15th century were educated. I've heard about the ties into everything from the Masons to the Mormon Church, to George W. Bush in the White House. You can't believe the tons of conspiracy theories that are out there, and this is the greatest secret that has never been revealed in the history of the world, because there are millions of people in hundreds of nations in their millions upon millions of branches who have never revealed the truth about their rotten, filthy conspiracy. Not a single one of them has ever come forward to say, guess what? There's a conspiracy in our church. Now, does that make sense to you? Have you ever tried to have three people keep a secret? You ever try to tell your best friend, yes, but don't tell anybody? Three people in a rowboat to be whispering in each other's ear. Guess what he said? All right, I found out who they are. Listen to this. Here is an organizational chart I have here in my never-before-tobacco-strained hands, as you've heard a particular show on radio say, the chart of the Illuminati. They control and they are in, quote, the banking and money group. And they're in as follows. International money center banks, all of them. All central banks, that's the central bank of France, of Germany, of Italy, of Japan, blah, 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 United States. International Monetary Fund, IMF, all Illuminati. World Bank, International Bank of Settlements, World Conservation Bank, multinational corporations, plural. Wow, wait a minute. That bracket means thousands of huge businesses. That means everything from Bayer in Germany that sells you aspirin and something to rub on your sore knee to Ford and Mercedes-Benz and Volkswagen and every multinational corporation in the United States, of which there are hundreds and hundreds doing business with other nations abroad, and every multinational corporation in all the other countries doing business with us. In other words, the entirety of global economy, all of the top people in it, the CEOs, the managers, the owners, are Illuminati. Doesn't that give you goosebumps all the way to the top of your head? Scares me half to death. I'm just, wow. Now I'm going to look into Henry Ford because I knew that he admired Hitler. Well, how about that? Multinational corporations. The Illuminati's got them. Foundations. Wow. All foundations. Thousands of them. You know, even on game shows when celebrities come on, they will say, what is your charity? Well, they started a foundation for crippled kids or for whatever. So they are now accusing the, what is the one, St. Luke's Hospital that Danny Thomas got started for little children? Or maybe a burn center here or an educational institution there? Or a foundation for the preservation of the American home or whatever? All Illuminati. Every foundation. Now that's in one bracket. And beneath that, that's sort of the side, the Illuminati is the secret societies group, and that includes these: Freemasonry, Skull and Bones, Grand Orient Lodge, Grand Alpina Lodge, Knights Templar, Royal Order of the Garter, that's in Britain, Priory de Sion, I don't even know what that is, never heard of that before, and the Rosicrucians. Now coming down from that political group, national government leaders. So every government on the face of the earth is Illuminati, according to the chart. All national government leaders. United Nations. Now I want to believe that, but of course I don't. It's stupid. Nobody like Kofi Annan could keep a secret 10 minutes over coffee, but then it's got the Bilderbergers. You ever heard of them? They're in South Africa. And they were a sort of a society, that's true. Trilateral Commission, that comes up a lot in Illuminati parlance and on these websites. Council on Foreign Relations, that's another one. It really comes up a great deal. Club of Rome, Aspen Institute, have no idea what that is. Bohemian Grove, never heard of it. Regional federations, like NATO, EU, etc. So that means all of the various pacts and treaties between nations are all Illuminati. And international labor unions, all the labor unions are Illuminati and involved in this massive conspiracy. Now, so far, we've already got about 230 nations, however many there are, every nation including maybe Burkina Faso. Can you find that on the map? Anyway. Look just the other side of Nigeria. Look up in Africa, West Africa. You'll find it. All right. It includes every nation on earth. And so far, the Illuminati includes several billion people. I mean, these conspiracy theorists are really, they got their antenna out. And they know there are black helicopters. Even now, they are hovering over your home. They know that there are concentration camps already built in the United States. And you know, I went so far as to ask a person to go and photograph one. Well, years and years ago, a man whom I will not name, but who was such a buffoon, he was called Buffy by all of his compatriots and his students, wrote an article and wanted it published in a Plain Truth magazine, that the temple was already built, but had been prefabbed out of solid, pink, beautiful granite and stone. And it was on a dock, like in Norfolk or someplace, Virginia, and every stone was labeled with a number, and all he had to do was to put it aboard a ship, take it over there, take it up to Jerusalem, and put it together. He'd read this in an article, so he wrote an article, and he submitted it, and it was supposed to go into the Plain Truth magazine. Now, wouldn't we have looked like a pack of idiots? Although some articles that appeared in the Plain Truth made us look that way anyway, back in those years. Not me, but I'm divesting myself of most of that. But anyway, there were some really idiotic ones. All right, I called my dear friend Lyle Christofferson, who is a photographer and was instrumental in me doing the on-the-spot radio and later TV programs down at Cape Kennedy and so on. I said, Lyle, I want you to go to Norfolk or whichever port it was up there, I forget, with your camera. I want you to take pictures of all of these stones. And I want you to come back with the absolute proof. Well, he did, and he asked around, and they said, you know, this is crazy. Never heard of such a thing. Well, of course, it was crazy. None of them ever heard of it. So I discarded the article because I was executive editor of the Plain Truth, and I had the power to do that. And sometimes you have to have the power to stop some nuts, or they will just go absolutely berserk in every direction like popcorn. You can't even stop them. It's unbelievable. Now, there are people who are going to hear this tape who believe right down to the ground in all kinds of conspiracy theories. Welcome. Cuddle up to them. Enjoy it. But that has nothing to do with the gospel of the coming world-ruling government of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Our job is not to uncover secret societies and show what they're up to. Our job is not to attack the Mormon Church or the Masons or any other organization. Our job is not to attack the American government. There are people who believe the United States is the beast of biblical prophecy. Based upon our victory in Afghanistan and Iraq, who can make war with the beast? Well, we will soon see. So there are all kinds of theories. A little more of this. Let me just give you the rest of it. There's not much left. The intelligence group, listen to who is in the Illuminati and a part of the great New World Order conspiracy. The CIA, the KGB. Now, if that's so, how come those characters haven't cooperated all these years and been spying on one another and killing one another, but they're all, according to this chart in one of these sites, a member of the Illuminati? The FBI, British intelligence, the mafia and organized crime, all the drug cartels, Interpol, and the Communist Party. Now, the religious groups that are involved, the World Council of Churches, National Council of Churches, World Parliament of Religions, Vatican, New Age cults, how about that? All, and they ought to be communicating, wouldn't you think, with each other, and sharing secrets. See, there are just a handful of men at the top of each of these organizations, and they probably communicate somehow. On a cell phone, throw it away, however. How are you doing in your area? Oh, we're really getting control over here. We're manufacturing, you know, false... We've got a deal going in the Pentagon where we're going to allow Americans to buy stocks, futures, that is, on whether or not Yasser Arafat will be assassinated within 1 year. I've already talked about that, haven't I? Or whether or not there will be a war with Iran or with North Korea. And you can buy futures on that. Now, I've written an article on that and published it on a website. That's one of the dumbest ideas ever heard of. And it was the brainchild of a former admiral who was quite involved in the arms for hostages deal, the Contra controversy during the Reagan period. Don't need to mention his name. Liberal Protestants, Unity Church, the Unitarian Universalist Church, Baha'i, the Temple of Understanding. Now, the educational organizations that are involved are UNESCO, well, I won't read them all, but even the World Goodwill Organization. All kinds of organizations here. What they've done is basically look at the governments of all the nations of the world, of every kind of even a private enterprise, business, or a cultural foundation, and say they're all part of the Illuminati. Now, who do you think they are really identifying here? Is there any great force, any great power, that might attempt or has already gotten his hands on or has infiltrated or has influenced some, if not all, of these groups. I read another list, and it went on and on about the United States. And it said that all education in the United States is infiltrated by the Illuminati. Because, you see, they adopt the idea that the Illuminati want to destroy most of the world, and then to survive and to rule what is left of the world after this great destruction. Now, what do you think Satan the devil's program is? What does he want? He wants the destruction of mankind. He wants to overthrow God, and he wants to rule the universe. And if he can, he wants to rule the world and be able to withstand God. And we see that there's going to be a great, huge battle fought eventually when Satan the devil will do just that. Look at Revelation 12, 9 to 11. Now, what these people are doing when they are seeing evil everywhere, and there is enough evil to go around. For example, I couldn't avoid it, so I picked up the TV guide. Maybe you do. Second time in my life I've ever bought one at the checkout stand at the grocery store yesterday. And there's an article in it about the mainline ABC, NBC, CBS evening entertainment for America. There are at least three shows coming out now, I think this fall, in which there are gay men openly kissing one another, which makes me want to puke, pardon the language. There is one about how they are gay dating, how these gays search for other boys. There was a whole article, and it showed how the very first word, I don't think they went all the way back to Gone with the Wind, banned in Boston, but they showed how they play off each other. And that as one organization gets high ratings because some man shows his bare butt, and that's the words they use, buttocks, butt, in the article, others are outraged. They say, well, we can do that too, so they show a woman doing the same thing. And here is a complete kind of a chronological expose of which networks, which shows. There was one called Ellen DeGenerate, and she had a program in which her character that she played came out of the closet at the same time that she did. And people just thought, oh, wow, that is wonderful. And her fortunes went up, not down. Now, here were these, all these shows mentioned that are coming along, and it is absolute garbage you would find under the garbage can. It is filth beyond your ability to believe it. And there are 6 and 7 and 10-year-old kids, boys and girls, who are going to be sitting there in front of the automatic babysitter this coming fall, looking at partial and whole nudity, hearing every filthy scatological term, including the F word, bandied about all the time on these programs. They don't have to learn it from each other anymore, around behind the barn back in the revolutionary period or in the school time in our period today. They don't have to hear all the dirty, filthy little stories. Now they can get them in full color, acted out by their favorite idols on television. So anyone who believes in God, believes in the Bible, believes in purity, believes in anything even called common sense, believes in decency, moral values, right from wrong, can look at all this trash and this garbage and condemn it for exactly what it is. But their point is, no one, and it showed one particular show that was just beyond belief horrible, and said they thought there may have been as many as, I forget what it was, a couple of million, 2 million, or, you know, 20 million, I forget. And they said not one person in America picked up the phone and protested against that program. So, the people who control the media, and I won't go into that because that's a 4-hour dissertation all by itself, that would get me in real trouble, play off each other. They say, look at the ratings ABC got. So CBS says, well, hey, we're going to go one step further. We'll just, we'll outrage the audience a little further than that, and we'll put this one on. And that's the way they do it. Now, the fact that it's actually against the Constitution, that it's, can you imagine George Washington, Thomas Paine, Thomas Jefferson, coming back and being alive today and sitting down and watching one evening's worth of television? What would they do? They'd vomit. They'd be sick. They'd faint. They'd get on their knees. They'd pray out to God, "Oh God, oh Lord, how could you have allowed the wonderful country we envisioned to come to this?" They would. I know that because I've read them. I've read about their lives. I know the kind of men they were. And they were flawed, and they had their problems, and they sinned, and not everything they said and did was perfect. I understand all of that. And yes, Washington was a slave owner. I understand all of that and all of the disclaimers and the arguments people will put up against our founding fathers. But that document on a civil level is the civil Bible. And on the religious level, the Word of God, the Bible, is our Bible. But on a state or a civil level, that Constitution is the civil state Bible. It should be immutable. It should be absolute and positive. It should never be misinterpreted or misapplied. And these lawyers and all these people that argue whether or not a person can wear a gold cross, which is a pagan symbol anyway, but they don't know that, into a workplace, and they even had a great big brouhaha over that. Or whether a judge can have a huge marble, or I guess it was granite, copy of the Ten Commandments out in some, I think it was a rotunda of a state capitol, but there have also been those on school grounds, and so you've heard about the flaps. They had a great big crane come and pick one up and take it away. And they argue about that. They don't know that the concept of separation of church and state was not to keep religion out of the government. It was to keep the government out of religion. And they're so dumb and so stupid, they don't have one kernel of wisdom in their pointed little heads. The ignorance, the stupidity, and the satanic influence is where I put it, that influences the entirety of all these government institutions, has led people like you and like me to look for some other guilty party, to try to find some human element that is doing all of this and not realize what God's Word says about Satan, the devil. Revelation 12, 9 and 11. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And what did we read about the people who believe in the Illuminati? He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And there are millions or billions, who knows, of them. And I heard a loud voice saying, "In heaven now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." So at the moment when things become the absolute worst in the world is the time when God is going to set his hand to save those who will listen, and his work will be done. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Why was Christ killed? Remember the reasons they brought forth? Was he killed because he was the Lord Jesus Christ? No. Was he killed because he was the Son of God? No. Was he killed because he preached the gospel? No. Was he killed because he healed people? No. Was he killed because he raised Lazarus? No. He was killed because they claimed he was going to destroy the temple. Was he going to destroy the temple? No. So he was killed for all the wrong reasons. The times are going to come when those in God's work and God's church are going to be murdered for all the wrong reasons. They will be accused of things of which they've never remotely thought to accept. They will be put in a niche and labeled and characterized as what? Unpatriotic? Contrary to the government? Seditionists? Heretics? What? You don't believe in the Trinity? Well, you've got to understand, Garner Ted Armstrong's program can't be allowed on our network because we are a religious program. Now, is it true, or isn't it true, that you cannot find anywhere at all in the Bible how to form a procession and march in a religious ceremony? Any of you ever found that yet? Get your exhaustive concordance, try to find it. Can't do it. Is it true or is it not true that you cannot find anything at all in the Bible about a chant? Form a procession and then chant. Now the rappers don't just come on and just out of their minds suddenly start to go blah, 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 and rap. They take a month or two writing out all this garbage, go kill a cop, kill your mother, whatever, that makes them millionaires, and they write it and write it and write it, and they practice it and practice it and practice it. So the first people who wandered around in their robes with a chant had to have somebody write out their chant. And somebody else edited it. Somebody else added a bit. And you know this is true, don't you? Innately. This is common sense. This is the way songs, chants, whatever, are written. Somebody, somewhere, someplace said, I think it'd be more impressive if they all carried a candle. So we can have now a procession. We can have them marching. We can have the robes. You know, if you saw a bunch of people marching by, what's going to happen to you? You're going to go look. If you hear a band, you go look. You see a great big brouhaha, great big demonstration, you go look. A wreck on the other side of the highway, you don't continue at the same speed. You slow down and rubberneck. Causes all kinds of traffic jams. So, when people see a procession, it's impressive. Remember the great big Munich torch-like parades of Hitler's time that so inspired the masses at that time? Hitler said and preached that the spirits of the people are weakest at night. He said, make your slogan simple and repeat it often to where the people will believe it. And so at some point in time, someone said, wouldn't it be nice if we had an echo? We build a big old stone church, and we go something like whatever it was that they said about Hail Mary, full of grace. And then they heard Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, little Sir Echo, how do you do, you know, coming back from the walls. Well, I dared because I have a sense of humor. In spite of the fact, the last time I was on a personal appearance campaign talking about Christ and the young revolutionaries, one man went away and said, what a bitter old man. Because I didn't agree with his doctrines, you know. So I was characterizing this, and I was having a lot of fun with it on a television program a couple of weeks ago, because I knew that a chant and a procession and a shepherd's crook and the mitre and the candles and the cathedrals all had an origin. And I knew it took place over a period of time, that it developed, because that's the way things happen among we human beings. And I dared to say that. I didn't mention a single church. I didn't say the word Catholic, Episcopalian, or any of that. WGN refused to air it. So I'm being censored. I am being muzzled. I cannot use humor along with common sense to kind of pry people loose from their doctrines and their concepts and their traditions. I've got to stick to a certain thing that I cannot, quote, make fun of other people, other people's religion. Now, you know, I received one time a letter from a lady, terribly upset, because I dared to preach about Elijah. I had a lot of fun with that. I characterized Elijah as making fun of, and it says in the Bible, mocking the prophets of Baal. Cry aloud, perhaps he's sleeping. Maybe he's on the hunt. Oh, that's a good idea. So they slash themselves at their lancets. Go ahead, you know, you'll get his attention sooner or later. You've all read that. And finally, the miracle from God showed who God was, and then all those rotten prophets of Baal, who is the sun god, were put to death. I can't preach that anymore, at least on WGN. They won't let me. Now, I'm trying to document that. I'm trying to get the information, and if I can, and I guess they're a little cagey, they have been so far, according to the agency, not my son, but the agency that told him about it. They're not going to give me any evidence, but if they would, I would then write a letter and I would offer the videotape. The videotape banned by WGN. Maybe I can still do that at some time. All right, the point is, I'm going to quit with that. You and I both know we are not white supremacists. We are the Church of God, the Intercontinental Church of God. We welcome We love, we accept every race, every color, but we don't accept every creed and every religion.